And welcome to episode 19 of the Divided by a Werewolf show. Mitch is hunkered down in his Alabama tornado shelter.
That's right.
Weathering storms that should be coming my way around 10 o'clock at night, so that's awesome. So he gets it now, I get it later. I don't know who has it. Did you have a lot of problems today? I know for us they said it was going to be really bad, and then it really wasn't.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing here. It was... Like, I was watching the thing, and I was watching when the red was over, so I was at work, and I went outside, and I looked, and I was like, yep, it's raining, but that was about it.
You're like, you're at work going, take me, come on.
Yeah, right? I was like, yeah, please. I went outside and shit, and I was just, like, looking up, like, let's go, bring it, and nothing.
You're like in Caddyshack when he's on the...
Yeah. Not even... A pea-sized hail, like nothing, just rain. Thunder, lightning, and rain. So
that sucks. All right, so we have a bunch to talk about tonight, but as we always do, we're going to very briefly just kind of touch on what we have been getting into in gaming. And so you're back to Witcher 3. Now that you took an extended break, you streamed some things, you came back, so... Are you feeling better about it, or are you still like, well, this is a slog, or how is your, has your opinion changed at all?
All right. So, yes and no. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's what happens. So, the first night, I come back, and I stream it, and the whole thing is I'm trying to find the Baron's wife, and I already found the daughter.
Yeah.
I haven't found the wife yet, right?
That's a really good quest.
Sure, I guess. But... It is frustrating as fuck, and my swords are still broken, and so every fight is like I usually die at least twice, and I do not like the combat, and so I'm getting killed, and I'm getting frustrated because it says, follow the clues. I'm like, what fucking clues? There's no clues, okay? Right. I'm not a fucking detective, so unless you tell me, go here, do this, I don't fucking know. I don't know what the clues are. Right. I don't know where to look for clues, right? And so I had to cheat. So I go on the internet, and it's like, you have to progress this other quest in order to figure out the end of that one. And I was like, that would have been fucking nice to know, because I was pissed that first night, because I I did upload it. I cut out my rant at the end because nobody needed to hear that. But yeah, so then night two I stream, and I'm doing the other quest, and it's just whatever. It's fine. Like I find that I enjoy the quest because again, there was another night where I didn't stream, and it was the best time I've had with the game. Mm-hmm. Absolute best time I've had with it. It was a side quest. I'm just trying to level up because I'm wondering if that's the problem. I don't know what the fucking problem is. And so it's the best time I've had with the game because there was no combat. It was just story.
I can tell you that I played all through two twice. And when I started three, I had kind of a hard time getting my bearings at first, trying to figure out, well, what should I do compared to maybe what can I do? And, the game, it very heavily relies on you kind of paying attention to the recommended level of the quest and your own level to decide what you can and can't do. And it does not, if it says level 10, well, 12 is probably the best thing to do.
Yeah, I'm finding that to be the case because the quests that I'm on were like level 6.
Yeah.
And I was a 6, and I'm up to 8 now.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping maybe it gets a little bit. But the thing is, like, it's crazy. Like, I got into a fight when you're trying to get that little weird, like, weird fawn kid, his voice back and shit.
Yeah.
So you go up to the thing to retrieve that thing from that nest with those griffins or whatever the fuck they were up there.
Yep.
Man, I wrecked fucking shop up there. But then the next thing, he walks me through where there's some fucking those little gill men that live in the water area.
Drowners. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Drowners suck.
They kicked my shit in. Like, are you serious? Like, I just can't.
I found that kind of the way the game goes is that sometimes, you'll do this epic battle where, like, you're popping off spells and doing all sorts of shit, but it's like at the end of Carlito's Way when Billy Blanco walks up and, like, taps him in the back of the head, where you're just like, you're ready to get on the train, now Leanne Miller's sitting next to you, you feel pretty good. And then this fucking little motherfucking Gil guy comes up and just like pop, pop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. And You know,
at least it's
as,
not just me.
Like, yeah, no, as much as I love 2, I really felt like until I did the Bloody Baron quest and kind of had a better feel for where I was supposed to go, I did feel like how you feel, where you're kind of like, well, what am I supposed to be doing? I don't feel like I can do anything. I mean, the weapons breaking and stuff, yeah, that's just kind of unfortunate part of it. As you get higher level, if you start finding The Witcher, there's different schools that have sets of gear, and then as you unlock those sets, you can then build better versions of them. And once you start getting into that stuff, they don't break nearly as often. And then I just like stockpiled repair kits and just repaired them on my own.
Yeah.
But I sympathize because I felt the same way. And I remember thinking, God, I love 2. I'm really disappointed that I kind of feel this way about 3. And then, you know, part of that, though, is my own just OCD-ish of going, okay, I don't, you know, I'm so used to like a Grand Theft Auto where it's like, okay, you're on this island. You can do whatever's on this island. And
right.
We're not gonna let you go to the second island that has higher difficulty stuff until you've done enough to where then you can go do it. So I was kind of used to that. So this, if you go walking around and you come across all sorts of shit and it'll, you know, jack you up quick. That took a little getting used to. Because Witcher 2 was, I could just be remembering it wrong, it was a lot more linear than Witcher 3 was. I mean, they would have like you'd get to a new area and you'd have like little side quests and you could do, but it still was like, okay, now you're here, now you're going to go here, now you're going to go here. Whereas this one, it's like, here's this big, huge country. You can go wherever the hell you want, come across whatever you can find, but most likely you're going to die.
Very much so.
Well, I'm glad you went. I'm glad you went back. So have you played any more Ghost Recon?
Yeah. The only point I really want to make about Ghost Recon is this. I've gotten used to playing with the incredibly stupid AI, and I'm getting used to doing most of it myself. But I hate to complain about content in a game, but Jesus Christ, like based on the hours that I have in it and where I'm at as far as what I'm doing, I'll still be playing this game this time next year.
Yeah, there's like, a lot of stuff.
Jesus. I mean, the map is fucking gigantic. And the problem with that is each area, like the only changing it up, the only like, it's the same thing over and over again. And the only variety comes in the actual missions. And even those sometimes aren't that different than some of the side stuff. So I don't know. I want to finish it. I want to take down all the bosses and then go after the, that's my plan. Like I want to take down everybody else and have this guy's like drug empire crumble beneath him and then go kick his shit in. Like that's what I want to do. Right.
Right.
That's
right.
My plan. But I'm just wondering at this point, because apparently you can go after him.
You can go after
you take down.
Yeah. Like pretty quickly, right?
Well, not like sort of. So there's like sort of, he has lieutenants, if you want to call it that, that are over each aspect. There are 4 aspects. It's like security, smuggling, and like 2 other things that I can't think of right now, or like distribution and maybe something else. Mm-hmm. And so each one of those people has 4 people under them.
Okay.
So if you take down 2 of his lieutenants, so if you take down his distribution and his security, then you can go after him.
Oh, okay. I got you.
But I'm way too anal. I can't do that. I have to take down all 4 before I ever go to him. But I'm also picking up all the weapon attachments, all the guns, and all the experience points and the Kingslayer files. And there's like 10 to 12 Kingslayer files from each section. There's 2 or 3 weapons, there's such and such experience points, so it's taking me for fucking ever just to clear 1/4 of 1 lieutenant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. So this game is going to take me at least a year probably, because I don't play just one thing at a time.
Right.
You know, as we talked about, and so like, because I'm playing Earth Defense Force, I'm playing...
Oh, are you really?
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Shit. God, Petey and I used to play that game. Holy shit, we played the shit out of it. I love Earth Defense Force.
I'm brand new to that series.
Oh, it's such a fucking mess. That game is such a mess. But it's such a great way.
Well, the thing is, that's as close as I'm going to get to a current-gen Dreamcast game. And so that's why I'm playing it.
You're absolutely right, yeah.
Yeah. It's a Dreamcast game. I can just play it on my PS4. So that's why I love it.
No, I love it. We played Earth Defense Force on, I want to say it was the 360.
Yeah.
We played the shit out of that game. Holy crap. Yeah. Yeah, I love those games. Yeah, they're a good time.
And also, I got I did buy an actual Dreamcast game. I started collecting for my Dreamcast again. So I bought, as everybody knows, I bought the 18-wheeler. So, you know, if I have 10, 15...
Yeah, someone wasn't ready Friday night to play Overwatch because they were too busy fucking driving their big rig. I know that driving a big rig is serious business, but...
Yes, sir.
Well, it's important to be thinking about career changes.
Yeah, at this point, yes, it very much is.
Well, that's good. For me, I finished Horizon, which was fucking great.
Yeah, like, man.
I can't wait for them to announce some sort of story DLC because I love that game. It was so good. I mean, I think at the very end, like the final mission, maybe I put it on easy. But then again, I don't even know if I did. Mm. But I just, you know, I really enjoyed how they took kind of the open world formula and then they did their own spin on it so that even things like, you know, scaling, you know, the towers where you have to figure out how you're going to jump on, you know, this giant walking dinosaur, and that's how you unlock parts of the map. But even, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but even those, it's not like just you go to where the tower is and then you scale it. Those missions themselves are different from one another. Similarly, the cauldrons that you go into to learn how to override monsters, you know, two of them are sneaking your way past some monsters and then a boss fight at the end. One of them is just a straight up super boss fight, and then one of them is completely different. So even the things, you know, instead of just saying, okay, you know, we're going to do open world and here's some things you can do, but we're going to make them roughly similar. They're just in different places. They don't do that. And I love the animations. I love the characters. The only thing I wasn't a big fan of was the voice acting. I felt that Aloy did a good job, but a lot of the other people, you kind of, when they open their mouth, you go, that is not at all what you should sound like. You have this big, huge, burly, kind of Genghis Khan looking guy, and he's like, oh, hello, Aloy. And you're like, dude. But I loved when they kind of told you what the story was in terms of like how things got to be the way they were. The guy who plays, they always do that guy from, he's been on Fringe. He's been on a million different things. He plays that guardian in Destiny. I forget his name. He's in it.
Yeah.
But it was just really, really well done. So I really I'm excited for them to do some sort of single player DLC, and it's I got a platinum in it. I can't tell you the last time, dude. I got a platinum.
That's awesome.
So then switching from that to Mass Effect Andromeda, which I wasn't I wasn't real big on when they announced it. I just was kind of like, okay, whatever. It is such a huge letdown. Like,
dude, I was, you know, not to interrupt, but I was the same way. Like, I would think that I would be way more excited about a new Mass Effect. And, like, I don't even care. I'm going to play it eventually, but I mean,
I'm a huge fan of Mass Effect. Like, fan of Mass Effect.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when the initial kind of reviews dropped of this game and people were complaining about the facial animations, I was like, oh, do you not remember in Mass Effect 2 when Shepard would take a drink through their helmet or kiss someone with their helmet on? Like, do you not remember any of that shit? Because that shit was awful, but it's different. It's not necessarily that, like in the first three Mass Effect games, I felt like they were, like, just for whatever reason, either the technology or what they chose to focus on just didn't quite match up to maybe what other games were doing at the moment. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, it seems like everything is just super exaggerated. Like, it's like when you see what they're able to do in, like, Uncharted 4 or even, like, Horizon with subtle facial changes that allow the characters to convey emotion without having to say anything. Like, that's the goal of facial animation, right?
Right.
Here,
right.
It's no. It's like, here, it's like if you had somebody who was performing on a stage that was 100 feet away from everybody watching, and they have to do these super exaggerated facial expressions in the hopes that people can understand, that's what it looks like. And you're just kind of like, what? And then on top of that, there's just random bits of dialogue that your squad says. Like, your squad is constantly kind of grunting and when they're like jumping over things. And like at one point I was with my squad and this one woman, I call her the soccer mom. Her name's Cora because she has like a soccer mom haircut. And so she goes, "You're supposed to be security. Be secure." And I was like, first of all, who the fuck are you talking to? And what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
right, what does that even mean?
It doesn't, I know. And she was talking to the other guy, Liam, the other guy on my squad. And I was like, I don't, honey, none of us know what you're talking about. Like, and then, so you have that, which is just right from the beginning. Like, right from the beginning, the character creation sucks. Like, it's awful. Yeah. I mean, I had to go online to find someone that didn't look like a Morlock. Like, and so I finally, in the character creator, I was like, okay. And I'm not looking like, I don't want her. She doesn't need to look like a playmate. She just needs to look like an actual human person, you know? Like,
right.
And I got her looking, you know, good. And then in the game, it's like, I don't know what happened. It's like Shepard and the character creator is 10 o'clock at night heading out to the bar.
Yeah.
Shepard in the game is 5 a.m. last call.
Yep.
And you're like, wow, I know it's you, but you had a rough night. And I don't know, like, I don't know why there would be such a discrepancy between those two things, but it's really jarring when you spend a bunch of time trying to, you know, kind of get them to look a certain way, and then the game boots up and you're like, I don't know who that is, but that is not
the character I created is coming in any minute now.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, the story itself, there's just, it's just kind of okay. It's like you go to planets, you just kind of do stuff, you know. There's no real investment, like in the three Mass Effect games, like that constant fear of the Reapers coming was enough to drive things forward. And here it's just like, well, there's a lot of people who are asleep and they need some place to live. And you're like, well, not if they're asleep. They don't, like, it's
right.
You know what I mean? You're kind of just like, yeah, all right, I guess. And then they don't, like, they don't fully explain. So certain quests, like, there's so many quests that will, you'll do a bunch of stuff and then it'll just say, well, it's on hold. And you need to just wait for something to happen in the future. And it's not to say that there isn't stuff to do. It's just that you have no real feeling for, like, when things are going to move forward or how important some of these things are that you're supposed to be doing. And then on top of that, they're called tasks. And it's all just fetch quests of varying degrees. But they don't put any markers down, not even like, okay, search this area. It's just like, okay, go find a bunch of this stuff on this planet. And you're like, well, I don't – why would I do that? Just to kind of wander around in the hopes that I come across these things that you're looking for? Like, and what's weird is that they have other missions that ask for essentially the same thing where they put markers out. And then these, they don't. And I don't know, like, I guess unless you just wanted to do everything and, you know, kind of level shit up as much as possible. And then, you know, on top of that, everybody is extremely talkative. And because it's a Mass Effect game, you're like, okay, after every mission, I got to talk to everybody on my squad. I got to see if I can push forward loyalty missions. If I'm trying to have sex with somebody. You know what I mean? And it just...
Sure.
So it's just... It feels like a lot of just kind of meaningless activity, and then your end goal is something that I personally don't really give a shit about. I mean, it's hard. Like, I understand they're saying, well, this kind of takes place. So my understanding is that all the arcs left at some point between Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2.
Right.
So everybody in the Milky Way is, like, fucking fighting for their lives. You're doing some, like, you know, fucking Magnificent Seven shit or whatever the hell.
Right.
When you're getting all these people together and you got to make sure everybody's doing their best because otherwise people will die. And here you're like, well, this planet looks nice. We can build a sunroom over there. Yeah, it's just – it's not the same. And the enemies here, there's two types. There's like these shark-looking guys and then robots. And you're just like, okay, you know, kind of whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I rented it, so it's no skin off my back. It's just time. But I did have somebody on Twitter say, you know, honest question, like, why are you playing this game if you don't like it? And I was like, well, that's a good question. One is I don't really have anything else right now. Two is that I am hoping it gets better.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of at this point where you start to realize how much time you've put in it, and that is your justification to continue playing.
Right.
And then the third thing is I would love to play Persona 5, but Atlas doesn't let you stream it. So
really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they disabled it natively in the PS4, and they've actually like warned YouTubers that if you stream the game past a certain point, then they might come after you for like content strikes and shit like that.
Well, damn.
Okay, I know,
because
right?
I was mildly interested in that, and I don't know shit about Persona, but same thing with Gravity Rush. Like, everybody starts talking about it, and it comes out, and I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But now I want to know.
Yeah. So I'm kind of at a point where, you know, I think I'll definitely keep playing it, because right now I don't really have anything else, and it's not horrible. I mean, I've certainly played some horrible games, and this is not one of them. It's just when compared to other ones, it's not as good.
Yeah.
So, all right. So now that we've wasted enough time on that. All right, so what do you want to get to? I want to get to Devil's Candy first.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
Sure.
So Mitch sends me, you know, we do our normal, hey, what do you want to talk about? He's like, oh, we should talk about Devil's Candy. It's my favorite horror movie of the year. And I was like, okay, cool, yeah, no worries. So I look it up, and I'm like, oh, all right. I don't give a fuck about heavy metal. In fact, I don't actively like heavy metal, but, you know, whatever. I'm down for a good satanic possession movie, because this movie is about Ethan Embry. He plays an artist, and him and his wife, Shiri Appleby of Roswell fame, and their preteen daughter. He's an artist. She's we don't know what she does. She works in a hair salon. We know that much. Mm-hmm. They buy this old house outside of Austin, and strange things start happening, and the kid of the people who previously lived there, who's played by Taylor Pruitt Vince, I always get his name mixed up. It's Pruitt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He shows up having some issues, and then things go from there. So 10 minutes into this movie, I text Mitch, and I say, curse you for making me watch this movie. Because they did such a good job establishing this family and how much you like them, even if they don't necessarily kind of live what you would consider a typical life, like your typical kind of suburban
right.
life. He's an artist. He's doing commissions for a bank with like butterflies and shit, but he loves heavy metal. Him and his daughter love heavy metal. There's a scene at the beginning when they're driving and he's got this tense look on his face while the heavy metal guy is going, da-da-da-da-da-da. That's what it sounds like to me. And then the music kicks in, and him and his daughter, they bang in their heads, and you know, the wife's like, can we listen to something a little bit lighter? And the daughter's like, you mean like Metallica? And the mother had this look on her face, just like she loved the fact that her husband and daughter had this thing that they shared together, even if she herself couldn't stand it. And they just established that this is just – they're a good family. They love each other. They're trying to do the right thing. And I was like, motherfucker, if you're going to make me watch these people get ripped apart by Satan, I am going to be pissed.
Yeah.
And I fucking loved this movie. My wife and I – so I watched it yesterday. My wife and I went on a walk, and I bored her the entire walk telling her all about the movie, because it was such a great – like, not, I don't want to say a send up, but it was a really good satanic possession movie that didn't follow the typical beats of a satanic possession movie.
Yep.
And I think, and I said it before, I think the core of it is how much you like these people. It's not just some kind of generic family, you know, like where they buy this house and they're like, I think I heard something in the wall. It's probably rats, you know, and then next thing you know, somebody's vomiting up frogs or some shit like that, you know, like, but it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, how had you heard about it? Because it's been, it was made in like 2015. It's kind of been bouncing around.
Yeah, it did the festival thing and it made some waves there. So here's, I know about it for two reasons. So, number one, I knew about it because of Ethan Embry, mm-hmm. and this guy has had.
See, I don't know anything about him,
dude. Ethan Embry, the kid from Can't Hardly Wait. He had the letter for Jennifer Love Hewitt. He had to give it to her.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh my God! All right, we're talking about that next show. So get on that. We're gonna switch shit up to fucking high school teen fucking romance drama stupid shit. But anyway. Oh, it's such a good movie. So anyway, this kid is like, that's what everybody knows of him is Can't Hardly Wait.
Okay.
You know, this tenderhearted, just sweet as he can be kid who's so in love with the high school quarterback's girlfriend. He writes her this letter. It's the last party, like senior year. Jennifer Love Hewitt and the quarterback have broken up. And he's like, this is my chance. He gets his fellow nerds in the car with him. He gets the courage to go and give her this letter at the party. And, of course, shit goes completely fucking awry. Mm-hmm. It's such a sweet movie. But that was it. And then he sort of, you know, did, you know, the odd and end here and there. And he sort of went away. And then he comes back. And you've seen him, I know, in – oh, shit. What is that movie where he the guy is like the blind war vet and he gets attacked by werewolves. Dark Phases. Is it Dark Phases?
I've not seen Dark Phases.
I'm pretty sure you have because we talked about it. Because the only complaint you and I both had were the werewolf design was bad. Late Phases.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yep.
The son who put the father in the home, and he's only in a little bit.
Okay.
And then he did a movie with Pat Healy called Cheap Thrills, which was fucking fantastic. And I was like, no shit, that's Ethan Embry. Holy shit. The kid from Can't Hardly Wait. So like when I heard about this and he wrote it apparently. And I was like, okay.
This movie?
Yes.
No, I thought the director wrote it.
From what I understood, like
Sean Byrne wrote it.
Hey, maybe I'm wrong then. No, you're right. It was, okay, I'm sorry. For some reason I thought he wrote it and Sean Byrne directed it. Well, Sean Byrne is the other reason why I was into this, because I fucking love The Loved Ones. That was my favorite movie the year that came out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Ethan Embry plus him, this is probably going to be my favorite movie this year. And honestly, unless The Void just completely blows me the fuck away next week, mm-hmm. I don't know of anything else coming that's going to get anywhere near this. Like yeah. this movie is like, he's had that whole Elijah Wood sort of resurgence where at one point, you know, Elijah Wood, fucking Frodo, man, he could do anything.
Right.
But what's Elijah Wood do now? You know what I mean?
Well, he was in Sin City, and that was like.
Yeah, that was the first step. And then he used that, and basically he owns his own little indie horror, like, production thing now. And he's like, you know, he was in the Maniac reboot or remake,
whatever. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
No. Then he played my favorite. Now, so this is my favorite movie of the year. My favorite character of the year is Elijah Wood, and I don't feel at home. I don't feel at home in this world anymore.
I still need to watch that.
Please do, because until this, that was my favorite movie of the year. So that movie was fucking fantastic. It's directed by the guy who was in Blue Ruin, whose name is completely left.
Oh shit, that guy! I love that guy. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. I can't remember his name either.
I can't think of it either. Fuck, I love that guy. I actually told him on Twitter the other day I loved him.
What'd he say?
He just favorited it.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, pretty much. But Macon Blair. There it is. I knew I'd get there. So Macon Blair directed I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. But anyway, we're off topic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this movie, man, like I love. So, you know, I have a son and a daughter. And as they're getting older, I've noticed, and I don't play favorites, of course, but my son tends to his mannerisms and his you know, his personality. He's very much a member of his mother's side of the family. And my daughter is the complete opposite. She's very much a member of my side of the family. We have, you know, my son doesn't watch.
You don't say.
Right? So my, you know, my son doesn't watch Face Off with me and draw our own monsters, versions of the monster from the challenge and shit every week, right. like my right. daughter does. You know, my daughter likes comics. My daughter likes monsters and shit. So I am very much connected with these characters right off the bat. Just, you know, like, Ethan Embry and his daughter in this movie are me and my daughter. So I'm like, you know what? I'm invested. And I know if shit goes south, this shit is going to fuck with me for days. And right. it did. You know, it did. Thankfully, where I thought it was going to end, it didn't.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I really liked about it. I mean, here's the thing. So my kids, my daughter and I have a better relationship than my son and I do, but, that's not necessarily because we're alike. It's just the way that it is. But yet, neither one of them care about any of the music that I listen to the point where the other day I mentioned Clarence Clemons, and my son was like, "Who's Clarence Clemons?" And I was like, "Motherfucker, get out of my house. Get out of my house, right?" Yeah. Like, you don't know who the big man is? Come on, son. I was like, I have failed you as a parent. So they don't care about any of the music that I listen to. And my wife doesn't care about any of the music that I listen to. I am a huge Pearl Jam fan, and they tolerate it when I put it on the radio. I am a huge hip-hop fan. And while my wife likes, oddly enough, she likes hip-hop more than she likes Pearl Jam, none of them are ever going to – yeah, like I put on oh, shit. What was it? It was when Fife Dog died. I was playing Tribe Called Quest, her first album. And she was like, "This is really, really good." I'm like, "Goddamn right, it's really good." Come on. I was playing Nas. I played Illmatic when I was making dinner one night. Yeah. And my son's like, "Who is this?" And I'm like, "Oh, my God." I'm like, "It's Nas." He's like, "Who's Nas?" I was like, "Only one of the greatest lyricists of all time, like one of the greatest rappers of all time." And he could fucking give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, he has an iPod, and I put a bunch of music on it, but for the most part, he's like, you know, we just don't share the same tape. Like, when I look at, like, what he's like, "Oh, can you put some more music on here?" I'm like, "Cool." And I look at what he hasn't listened to, I'm like, "Oh, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I gave you Who's Best? You don't listen to Who's Best? Come on, son, Magic Bus, you're out of the will. Get out." You know, and then my daughter... Everything, I'm just like, you know, because I'll, like, quiz them, you know, like, when a song comes on the radio or a song comes on, you know, like, Alexa or whatever. I'm like, "Okay, who sings this?" And she's like, "Rob Thomas." I was like, "Okay, first of all, not everybody is Rob Thomas. Second of all, fucking stop listening to Rob Thomas." Like, I like Rob Thomas. You know what? He's cool. Whatever. He was in Matchbox 20. I'm sure he gets plenty.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Rob Thomas, but I was never a Matchbox 20 guy. So
I'm sure he gets plenty of whatever it is he wants, wherever it is he goes. But in it, not everybody isn't like you should know by now.
Right.
You should know. So I am not going to have that type of relationship with them when it comes to music. And the reality is I don't have that type of relationship with my parents either. Like, my mom more than my dad. Like, the only thing – my dad, the only music we agreed on – this is awful. Neil Diamond, who I fucking love. I took my wife to see a Neil Diamond concert when we were dating in college. And Creedence Clearwater Revival. Those are like the only – those are the only bands that we agreed on. Whereas my mom, I remember my mom bought Thriller on vinyl. She bought Born in the USA on vinyl. Like, she and I, we overlap on a lot more music. But still not the way this guy and his daughter did. And what cracked me up is, like, when she was like, "I want the Flying V, you know, and the Marshall Amp."
Yeah.
And she gets the Flying V and the Marshall Amp, and I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. She knows how to play." And she did not know how to play. Like, I thought maybe, oh, she took guitar lessons. Like, she wants this because she plays guitar. No, she wanted it because it's fucking cool, and the guy from Metallica had it, and she could use it to make a ton of noise.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome that they had that scene where she's jumping on her bed and jumping off, and she doesn't know how to do shit. She's just like, burr, 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 burr.
Man, I remember my friend Josh, my best friend in high school, somehow he called me one day and he's like, I've got a guitar and an amp at my house because somebody had like left it there or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, this was a new thing. Like, it has never happened. He was like, he was coming to get it later, but he's like, it's here right now. I've got it on the porch. And I was like, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So we did the same thing.
Yeah.
We turned up as loud as it would go, and we just fucking pounded the guitar.
I remember my friend, Pete Lance, he had a guitar, and he had an amp, but he didn't have any distortion pedals. And he was like, I got a guitar, a little electric guitar, and an amp. And I was like, cool. And I came to his house, and I'm like, well, that just sounds like an acoustic guitar that's loud. Like, because he didn't have the pedals, so he wasn't like that, bah, 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 you know what I mean? I'm just And I was like, that's fucking lame as shit, dude. Like, But I really enjoyed, I mean, you know, the only thing about it that obviously Pruitt Taylor Vance shows up in a movie, he's not there to be
right. The
cop. He's not there to be the kindly social worker. He's pretty much going to be the weird guy, the guy that shit is happening to. And that's really no different in this movie. But I love the way they kind of portrayed him because I don't know about you, but I never got a good enough feeling as to whether he actually was possessed or what he was hearing that sounded like Satan, that actually was a heavy metal singer just kind of saying the same things over and over again,
right?
Or if that was like some sort of mental illness that he had.
Yeah, the only thing, and I don't know if you caught it, and I saw it immediately, and I know this is sort of the question I had. So no reviewer has mentioned it. Nobody else has mentioned it. The movie only barely touches on it, but the art dealer collector who suddenly becomes interested, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, I guess he had to be at least somewhat close by because, you know, Ethan Embry drives there.
Well, they were living outside of Austin, so I'm assuming
guy's in Austin maybe. Okay, so I'm wondering honestly how much he really was tied into things, and the reason that brought it up for me was because he pulls up to the building and the word Belial is on the side of the building.
I think that was just a fake out, personally.
Okay.
And I think, because I was talking to my wife about it, and I said that it just, given the way that the movie ends, and I don't want to, normally where I'm okay with spoiling stuff, I don't want to spoil this because if
people
are listening and they want to watch it, I think it's best left, you know, as a surprise.
I knew nothing about it other than it was the new movie from the Loved Ones guy and Ethan Embry was in it. And I thought Ethan Embry wrote it, but apparently he didn't. But still, that's all I knew going into it.
Given the way the movie ends, I kind of feel like that whole scene with him being repped by them is a fake out.
Okay.
That's my take on it. They put it there to make you feel that this movie is going a certain way. And then,
once you say like, it's, you know, once you get to the end, you're like, okay, it really, we don't know if he was possessed or not. You're right.
But just even the way that they handled, kind of showing you what Pruitt Taylor Vance had done compared to, I mean, just the swapping back and forth between the cleanup and the painting and the cleanup, you know.
Because, right.
So basically, without getting too much into it and spoiling it, so Ethan Embry starts painting these pictures of, like, dead kids, and he doesn't know where it's coming from. And at the same time, Pruitt Taylor Vance is getting – he's overly fascinated – or he gets attached to the people in this house because it was his parents' house, and he starts kind of hanging out a bit too much, I guess, without getting into it. And so you've got this guy who seems like he's being possessed based on what he's painting. He's being possessed by the same thing that's driving Pruitt Taylor Vance to do what he had done. It was just a really very well acted, very fast movie, 80 minutes, not a lot of time for you to really start to kind of think about it and, you know, potentially things to fall apart. But just really extremely well done. Everybody was, it's super likable. And just, you know, yeah, I thought it was great. So thank you. I sent you a text.
I felt so bad when I saw it because I thought you had seen all of it.
No.
Because it was two texts.
Yeah, it was too tense.
The first one was just curse you for making me watch this fucking movie, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and then it was like, I like this family. I don't want to see him get ripped apart by Satan. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very glad you liked it.
Yeah, no, it was really good. It was really good. So I'm not sure what is kind of next for me on that front. I have I do know. I've seen. Do you watch The Leftovers on HBO at all?
I don't.
That is my absolute favorite show that HBO makes.
Okay.
Hands down, my absolute favorite show that HBO makes. Season 3 starts in April, so I am getting wrapped up on season 2. It's an extremely weird show. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't fully understand it all of the time. It's basically a set in a world where on one random day, like 2% of the world's population just disappeared. No explanation whatsoever. Just gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard of this. I just haven't seen it. Yeah.
It is fucking fantastic. It's great. It is the best show that HBO does. It's my favorite show. Like, now that Justified is over,
it's
my absolute favorite show.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm getting caught up on that, and then I'm to get ready for the next season. But you are 27 minutes away from finishing Legion. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what are your thoughts?
That is hands down the best comic book show on television. Like, that's probably been done so far, I think. Like, it's better than Daredevil, which was my previous, like, that's the bar. So this is the new bar. I fucking love it. I love Dan Stevens. Like, I love Dan Stevens.
I love Dan Stevens, period. He's the reason I watched it, honestly.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, him and Noah Hawley. So Noah Hawley makes Fargo, which I don't know if you watch Fargo.
No,
Is great. Fargo is
I know. I love the movie. Absolute, it's one of those things.
TV show is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm just behind.
But Dan Stevens was the reason I watched it.
Yeah, but I think for me, it's Dan Stevens and Aubrey Plaza. Like, I'm there. And I was still late to the party. I'm not going to lie. It was one of those things where I don't have cable, so being able to watch things is a bit of a pain in the ass for me. And so I was like, nah, I like just getting the whole season and just blowing through it. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that it was already over when everybody was like, you know, oh, it's the best thing ever, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it just ended like last week, so you're not that far behind.
Right, and I had no idea that it was only 8, though. So I was like, I was like, oh shit, I'm getting to see all of it. This is fucking, yeah. The only thing, and I don't know, it's my own fault. And I don't know if it was I'm sure it was a mystery for 90% of the people who watched it because they're not, you know, comic book nerds. I was really disappointed because by episode 2, I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And so I was like, can we just get there? Can we just get there? Like, I know, I know what it is. I like, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. I was streaming the other day, and Autistic had said, hey, you know, I'm watching Legion. I'm 3 episodes in. Like, I'm ready to give up. And I said, don't give up.
Right.
It gets better. I said, the problem is that, in my opinion, Legion is an 8-hour-long show that has 3 hours of story to tell.
Yeah.
And you, unfortunately, are not in the 3 hours where the story is.
Yeah, it took a while. Especially,
but it totally picks up. Like, that last 4 hours, man, it moves.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I think it thought it was being, like, mysterious for too long. And if you know the character, then you know exactly what's going on. And so you're just like, just please just fucking get there. You know what I mean? Like, just please get there. Because I know what's coming is going to be fucking good.
Right.
Let's just get there.
I think what they were trying to do is just set up whether or not this guy had powers or he just
right.
he had a mental illness and that, you know right. what I mean? So, but which I understand because, you know, that's a typical thing in the Marvel and the X-Men universe is this notion of kids that have telekinetic, telepathic powers. Right. It usually presents itself as some sort of like, you know, kind of either mental illness or, you know, headaches or things like that.
Right.
So I kind of understand why they did that. But then just the stylistic choices they made and the extremely nonlinear storytelling choices they made,
yeah.
it made it really hard to follow what was happening. And I can totally understand why some people would just be like, you know what? It's not worth it. I don't,
right, yeah.
I don't follow the X-Men. I don't care about the X-Men.
That's the thing.
I'm not going to try to parse it.
Right. I think this show is the most probably, I don't know. I think it caters to fans of the character more so than a lot of the shows do, just because you know who the villain is if you know the character. And right. You know what he's capable of. You know what's going on. You know, they even hint or talk about his adoptive father. You know who that is. And so Right. You know the significance of you know, all this shit. And I think that, yeah, it would be extremely easy. Like, Holly won't like it if mm-hmm. she watches it. She's not going to know what the fuck's going on.
Rielle, my wife wouldn't either.
You know, like,
and she wouldn't take the time to find out.
That too.
I mean, and I don't mean like to research. I mean just to wait to see
right.
what happens.
I don't think that it would hook her the way it did me.
Yes.
But as a nerd comic book guy, like, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just, again, I hate to do this. I did the same thing when we did the Rogue One episode. I wanted to watch it twice before I said anything. But because right now I'm just like, this is the best fucking show. Like, I loved it from start. I'm not done yet, but like, I love how stylistic it is. I love the camera angles. I love the colors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the performances. Dan Stevens is fucking fantastic. Aubrey Plaza is like, holy shit.
See, she's the only thing I could not stand.
Really?
As the season went on, and I know. I totally understand what she was doing, and I understand why she was doing it the way she was. I just didn't like it.
Ooh, I did.
I just didn't like it. I know that, like, I don't feel like it's because she did a bad job. I just wasn't, like, I understand kind of what the vision they had for her and the purpose, and it just didn't connect with me.
Well, here's the thing. So what really kind of floored me about it is because, like, I love her from Parks and Rec, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, and she's playing a character in that show, right? And then since the show's ended, I've seen her on, like, talk shows and things, and she's still April. She's still that awkward sort of, you know, I don't really care that I'm even here type of thing. So this was such a complete, like, departure from anything I know of her.
Yeah.
It just kind of floored me. I was like, holy shit. Like, even when they were in the mental institution, mm-hmm. the first part, there were like hints of April, sort of, but like, you know, a crazy April. But by the end, I'm just like, holy shit, I didn't know she had it in her. And so I guess that's part of what it is for me. Like, I'm just it's one thing. And then.
And I don't have a lot of experience with her. So I think that probably plays a part. But, you know, my biggest issue with it when I was watching it, and I think you watching them all in a row definitely is better.
Yeah.
Because from a week-to-week perspective, you're just like, what the fuck? Like, I don't really understand what's happening, and now I need to wait a week to find out. And I got to the point, this is right around episode 4, well, I was like, you know what? I'm not sure I care anymore, but this is when I didn't have a job. And I was just messing around in my ass all day anyway. And I was like, all right, okay. You know what? That's fine. Let's give it a try. And I'm glad that I did, because it definitely got a lot better.
I can agree with that. I think actually, I hate to say it this way, but I think it does play better as a really long movie than it does as an episodic show. And honestly, I don't know how well it did, but I can't see this lasting very long either. So, because Dan Stevens,
they've already renewed it for another season, and they said that the next season's going to have, I think they said 10 episodes, not just the 8.
Okay. I'm just thinking, like, Dan Stevens, I think he's going to go on from this and do other things, and, you know, because he has, I know, several movies that he's already in the works to do, so I don't know how much longer this will run. And honestly, like, you know, they sort of threw all their eggs in the basket with the villain this first season, so
you've got a half an hour left, so
okay. I'm just saying, once you do that one, man, I don't know where you go from there, really.
Just wait until you get to the end.
Okay, all right.
Just wait. All I'm gonna say is that if they've got plenty to do,
okay,
whenever they decide to do it in the next season,
all right.
So I'll let you. I'm not gonna say anything more. Because you haven't seen it, but I think we do. Yeah, we have time real quick.
Oh, well, let me say one more thing about this.
Oh, show. Sure.
And it's just because it's fresh in my mind. And I don't even know if it's intentional. I don't know. And I don't know if you noticed it, if you remember episode 8 that well. So when the interrogator, and I don't know the character's name, I think even on IMDb, he was listed as the interrogator.
Called the interrogator, yeah.
So when he comes back and he has the burns.
Yep.
He walks into a locker room after he does the interview with the lady. She's like, we're going to put you on a desk. And he's like, well, it'll be a portable desk. I'm going to need to do this.
I love that.
That's why, yeah, that was fucking great, right? So he walks away from her, and he enters this locker room. Mm-hmm. And he walks in, and he's changing into this red-on-red suit and everything. And you're like, okay, he's going to be like a villain guy now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice the floor?
No.
All right. And this might just be me and my brain. But it's a, you know, the tiles are in a checker pattern.
Uh-huh.
They're all red and green. And so when I saw him almost fully burned, and then I saw him walk into a room with a red and green checkered floor, I was like, oh, shit. That is such a Nightmare on Elm Street little, like, winky wink nod to Freddy.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
It may not have been intentional. I don't know. But if it was, like, hats off to whoever did that. I was like, I see you, player. Like, I may be reading too much into it, but if you meant it, I saw it. So just put that out. Anyway, that's it. That's the last thing I'd say.
Very good. Okay, and so finally, and the only reason I want to get to it, even though we don't have a lot of time, is because we keep saying we're going to, and then we never do,
right.
Is we both played a while ago Inside, which was Playdead's kind of latest platformer. Now, you are a big fan of
Limbo. Yes.
I am not. And that is entirely because of the platform I choose to play it on. I choose to play it on an iPad. And no, don't get me wrong, touch controls are good. They are not great.
No, I hate playing games touch controls.
And so as a result, I ended up getting really frustrated. To the point where I stopped playing it. And then I when we talked about Inside, I was like, oh, I should play. I'm trying to remember, why didn't I play Limbo?
Yeah.
And I brought it up on my iPad, and I played it for like 2-3 days, and then I got to a point where I just physically could not complete the jumping puzzle because of the controls. And I went,
Man, I feel so bad about that.
This is why. And then I read kind of what the game was about, and I was like, shit, man, I'm glad I didn't finish this shit. I would have been pissed if I found out, like, what the ending was. And then, you know, especially the special ending, I was like, ain't nobody got time for that. So, but, you know, Inside was on sale, and it had gotten some really good reviews.
Yep.
And I thought, what the fuck? I'll go ahead and try it. And that, I felt, was great. I felt it was better than Limbo. I felt the puzzles were better. The storytelling was better. You, as a player, were able to somewhat figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
Because they don't tell you what it is. Like, they're notorious for basically just throwing it out there and saying, hey, you know, kind of whatever you think it is,
that's
cool.
What it is. Yep.
That's what it is. But I felt that everything about Inside was better.
I agree. I just think having played Limbo first and loved it so much, this sort of felt like Limbo evolved or Limbo improved upon. You know what I mean?
I would agree with that.
It's different, but at the same time, it felt very similar to me.
Well, absolutely. I mean, just kind of the side-scrolling, the environmental puzzles, the not really knowing what's happening, the brutal deaths upon failure. I mean, it certainly shares a lot of similarities with it. But I feel like whereas Limbo did not necessarily tell a story aside from the beginning of the in the end, I feel like Inside did a better job of telling a story about this world that you're in through the puzzles and the environments that you go through.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was the big change for me because, I mean, well, that and playing it with an actual controller in my hand. If I'd played Limbo with a controller in my hand, I probably would have finished it.
Yeah.
But I felt like Inside, they kind of took what they had learned from Limbo and without having to expand anymore in terms of giving the player like a narrative direction and saying, okay, this is definitely what it is.
Right.
They were able to expand what they're what they could do with storytelling just by gameplay. And so I definitely appreciate it a lot more. Now, did you get all of? Did you get the secret ending, or did you just get the stock ending?
No, I have to go back. I swore I explored the shit out of this game while I was playing it, but I missed like maybe four of the things or whatever.
The orbs
so,
or whatever.
Yeah, I have to. I'm gonna go back. I haven't done it yet, but I'm just gonna boot up a fucking a tutorial and run through the missions that I didn't get the ones in, and I want to see the end, because the thing is, like, the way Limbo ended, I felt like there really was no end game. It was just sort of, you just kept running to the right until you didn't run to the right anymore. And so right. I fucking loved the last 10, 15 minutes of Inside.
Me too.
That was so fucking good. And so, like, I want to see more. I think, you know, I'm okay with where it ends, but if there's more to it, then I definitely want to see that. So I'm going to go back and get everything.
So the theory that I had read is that the blob was controlling the boy the entire time.
Oh yeah.
And that's why the boy merged with the blob at the end, because it was kind of a commentary similar to BioShock, where you're kind of following this guy kindly, and you're doing everything he says without questioning it. This is the same thing. You're kind of doing the, you as a player are just doing everything without questioning why you're doing this stuff for this boy. And then at the end, he merges with the blob, and the blob gets out into the sunlight, and you're like, you know, the blob was basically in control the whole time.
Yeah, it was just trying to escape.
Wow. Now, that being said, I know what the secret ending is. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because you're going to go and get it.
Right.
And I think that knowing what the secret ending is, it makes sense with the theory of the blob being the one controlling the boy.
Okay.
From the beginning.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, it's one of those ones, I haven't deleted it because I'm like, well, shit, maybe one day. I found one of the, it's like Secret Tone or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Just completely by accident.
Yeah.
I don't even know how I did it. And it's a short game.
Yeah.
It's like maybe 5 hours. I mean, if you really wanted to. I don't recommend searching for this kind of stuff while you're playing it the first time. I think it's such a short game. The atmosphere is really good. I think it's worth it just to play it and just kind of see what it is and just experiencing it without having to look at a video or, you know,
read something online.
Just play it.
Just play
and
it.
And then when you're done, if you want to go back and get everything, because it is so short, you know, at that point, go ahead and do it. Because, you know, there's definitely a lot to be said for the different environments and just the way they set. Like, you still don't fully understand what's happening, but you have a much better sense of place in this game than I think you did in Limbo. And then there's some people that are like, oh, well, the boy in Inside, he dies, and he's the boy in Limbo. And I'm like, no.
No.
Like, no, they're both boys. That's pretty much where it ends. Yeah.
I appreciate you trying to look deeper into it, bro, but you just
Like, that's the problem. On the one hand, I totally understand why they would just be like, you know what, it can be whatever you want it to be. We're not going to tell you. If you have a theory and that works for you, then great. But on the other hand, you read this shit and you're just like, okay, this motherfucker needs some guidance.
Yeah, he doesn't have
like, I remember, and this is going to be dating myself, but I'm going to do it, dating and embarrassing myself at the same time. So back in the 90s, I was on an X-Files email list. It's like a message board, message list, right?
Yeah.
And it was right around the time when Ben Folds 5 was out, and they put out that song Brick, which is like their big hit. And somebody who like posted the board was like, I think this song's about Mulder and Scully. And everybody was like, that's about a dude whose girlfriend is having an abortion. Like, like, it is entirely possible for you to read into something too much.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I felt when I read that. I'm like, they don't have to be linked. Like, just because they're made by the same people, this isn't like the fucking the MCU, right? Like, I mean, they can be two totally different things. But yeah, well, that's a game I played because you recommended it to me. So I should just give you my calendar. You'd be like, pencil. You'd be like, okay,
please.
Yeah, Monday you're going to watch this. And on Tuesday you're going to play this. Wednesday you're going to listen to this.
No, no, because all you get from me are the highlights. There are many low lights.
That's right. I get the curated list, right?
Yes. Big time.
All right. Well, let's see. So for myself, I guess for the time being, Mass Effect Andromeda is going to be what I'm streaming until whatever. I'll figure something else out. I don't even know what's coming out to know what I'd be switching to in the first
place. Prey is soon, right? Isn't Prey soon?
Oh, yeah. Shit, that's in May. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool. Maybe I'll play, you know, Lego City Undercover. It's a game that came out for the Wii U. I actually wanted to play it because there's like an open world Lego game.
Yeah.
That comes out with the PS4 and the Xbox, so maybe I'll dig around with that a bit. But and then what have you got going on?
So, yeah, Witcher still. Ghost Recon, which, again, I'm not really streaming. I would like to, but it's one of those things where the shit I'd like to stream again is the stupid drunken shit, and by then I'm way too far gone to even worry about streaming anything. I did buy the Zombie Army Trilogy. It was like $10. I've been after that forever. I wanted the physical copy, but it's never gotten cheap enough for me to pull the trigger. And so Xbox had it digitally for $10, and I finally was like, that's the cheapest I've ever seen it. I want to fucking play it. Fuck it. So I downloaded that and ended up playing. I played about 2 hours of it. And I don't know if you know what that game is, but it's basically it's a PC mod of Sniper Elite 3.
Oh, okay.
It's you shoot zombies instead of Germans. And you're still in Germany, but it's like Nazi Germany bombed out and shit, and everything's fucking on fire and shit, and it's like, you know, whatever. But I may stream some of that because it's fun, and you know, the camera does that whole zoom thing where it goes to the X-ray effect when you go through the...
Yeah, I actually want to play Sniper Elite 4. I heard it's really good.
Yeah, well, I love 3, and then I saw this, and I was like, man, that'd be fucking fun, but it's like, I don't know how long it is, because it's like, apparently they did 3 different, like, chapters to it, but I don't know how long each chapter is. And the game was like $60, and I was like, fuck, I don't want to pay that for that.
Right.
So I wanted to do like 20 for the physical, because I still like, you know, physical copies, but I've never seen it for lower than 30 or 40 physical. And so for $10 on Xbox, I was like, you know what, if I find it on PS4 later for $10-$15, I'll pick up a physical copy, but I'm tired of having not played it, so I may stream some of that, because, man, it's a good time, it's fun.
Yeah, Sniper Elite 4, that's one of those ones where, you know, it's kind of always been on my radar, because anytime you can watch slow motion of a Nazi getting shot in the balls, so I'm all for it.
Yep.
And then I read some reviews of 4, and they said, you know, it's just kind of that gimmick aside, it's actually really, it's a really good kind of stealth game. They expanded, you know, just the type of things you can do, and I was like, the problem is, I had just finished streaming something that was like a couple of kind of stealthy open world things in a row. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I don't have the patience. And somebody, Hitman, that's what it was. I was like, I'm fairly
Hitman,
certain.
You had done Dishonored and also.
Yeah, I was like, nobody has the patience for me hiding behind a crate, including myself. Let's go balls to the wall action. So,
yes.
So that's kind of on my list. I like to keep things like that so that if I hit a spot where I don't have anything to do, I can go to Gamefly and be like, right, that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And add it.
So. And that's exactly what this is. This is something for me to play in between other things. So
yeah, absolutely. But yeah, cool. So everybody, they should go watch Legion and watch The Devil's Candy. And,
yes.
You have a good old time. So that's it for us for episode 19. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out. We are going to get the show up on iTunes at some point, I promise. This should make it easier for folks to get their hands on it. And they could tell their friends. And then they could subscribe, and we could become millionaires.
That's right.
Or thousandaires, maybe. Or 10-cent-aires.
I would say tens of airs would be fine with me.
You know, after our amazing 101 million views on of the stream. You know, my favorite part of that Friday night was Cindy just going, what the fuck are you talking about? Just getting more and more irritated every time we mentioned it.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank everybody for hanging out tonight. Really appreciate it. And, of course, you can always catch us streaming and on the YouTube channel and all that good stuff. And we will be back here again in 2 weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you, good night, and have a good evening.